Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Leh Rabbi Akiva Heichem Etzinu. As we have learned in the Mishnah, and as we discussed in our previous shiur, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim as to when someone says that he's not makes a shvua that he's not going to eat something. What is included in that? How much is included in that shvua? The opinion of Rav Akiva is a kol shehu. The opinion of the Rabbanon is a kezayis. And our Gemara begins with where we had in our Mishnah a dialogue between Rav Akiva and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say to Rav Akiva, "Heicha mitzinu, where do we find in halacha precedent for someone eating less than a kezayis that is chayiv?" And as we already mentioned in our previous year, even though we know that there is a machloikis, and we will refer to this machloikis in the coming shiurim, machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish, if chatzi shir is also in a Torah, that even if something is also less than, that even if less than a kezayis, there's a halacha, the chatzi shir is also in a Torah. Still, as the Rishonim and Achronim point out, even Rabbi Yochanan, who is of the opinion the chatzi shir is also in a Torah, will agree that the shir that the Chachamim say of a kezayis is not contradictory to that, because although chatzi shir is also in a Torah, since, as the Rishonim explain, it doesn't say anywhere explicitly in the Torah that there is a isser of a chatzi shir, or even if we say it's awesome in a Torah, one doesn't receive a punishment even if he ate less than the shir, even if Rabbi Yochanan holds chatzi shir awesome in a Torah. Therefore, the Chachamim are understandable. We can understand the opinion of the Chachamim when the Chachamim say that the shir achila, when somebody makes a shvur that he won't eat, remains a kezayis, because that is always the shir achila that the Torah refers to. But it's interesting to note that the Rambam says that although we're learning the opinion of the Chachamim that achila means a kezayis, and the halacha follows the opinion of the Chachamim, says the Rambam that if somebody makes a shvua not to eat a certain food, midoraisa, there will be an isser for him to eat less than the shear of that food, even eat less than a kezayis of that food, even according to the Chachamim. The Shach says that there's two types of situations. The Shach says that if somebody just said a shvua that he won't eat, that according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that shvua means that he won't eat a kezayis. Says the Shach, that since, as we know, whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, the shir is kezayis, still, Rav Yochanan says, chati shir is awesome in a Torah. Here too, the halacha will be that even though his shvua represents for a kezayis, he'll be also less than a kezayis. However, says the Shach, if somebody specifically said in his shvua, I won't eat a kezayis, there even the Rambam will agree that there's only a chiyuv for violating that shvua specifically and only if he ate a kezayis. Davni Meluim and the Mishnah Lamelech disagree, and they hold that according to the Rambam, under all circumstances, the halacha is that if one eats less than the shir, even though the Chachamim hold that the shir is a kezayis, and so is the halacha, he will be over midaraisa for violating the shvur. However, as I indicated earlier, it is the opinion of most Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, the Rashba, who hold that even Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that chatzi shir is awesome in a Torah, that only applies to foods that the Torah says are awesome. But foods that the Torah doesn't say are awesome, and is a, so to speak, is a man-made iser, like the case where we're referring to, where a person made a shvur not to eat a food. There's nothing wrong with the food other than the shvur that the person made. The concept of chatzis shir osim min haTorah doesn't apply, because it only applies to foods which are osa medaraisa. And they disagree with the Rambam, and they say that even everybody will agree, if we follow the opinion of Chachamim, and somebody makes a shvur that he won't eat, the halach is that he's only over the shvur if he eats a kazayis, not any less. In fact, this question has very serious ramifications, this machlokes. Because according to the Ramban and the other Rishonim that we just quoted, the only time we say the concept of chatzis shir is by foods that are osa medaraisa. That's where the Torah gave us the concept of chatzis shir. And therefore, according to those Rishonim, we perhaps would not apply the concept of chatzis shir by any other area of halacha. I believe we once discussed the question, if one can't or doesn't have the shir of matzah, let's say on the night of Pesach, do we apply the concept of chatzis shir and say that he should eat at least as much as he has or as much as he can? If we're going to follow the opinion of the Ramban, as we just said, that the Ramban says that the concept of chatzis shir, osim min haTorah, is limited to isurim that the Torah establishes, that in any other situation, including the case of a mitzvah, there would not be a concept of chatzis shir. Although I did see mefarshim that want to suggest that just like the Ramban is agreeable, that we do apply, certainly we don't need his agreement, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says explicitly, the concept of chatzis shir osim min haTorah to yisurim deraisa, could be what the Ramban means, that anything that involves a deraisa, that's not a man-made iser nor a man-made mitzvah, there is a concept of chatzis shir. It's only shvuas which are totally made up by a person, he creates the iser, that's where the Ramban will not agree to the concept of chatzis shir. I saw that the Netziv in the Sefer Meroimei Soda has a very interesting way of explaining this machloikis Rishonim. He says we need to understand what is the basis of the machloikis of Rav Kiva and the Chachamim. He says the Ramban and the other opinions that agree with the Ramban hold that the machloikis between Rav Kiva and the Chachamim is that we try to understand what does the person who makes the shvua mean. The Rav Kiva holds that the person who makes the shvua intends to prohibit a kol shehu, and the Chacham hold that the person who's making the shvua specifically means only to prohibit a kazayis. And therefore it's very understandable the opinion of the Ramban, who says that he who made the shvua specifically only had a mind to asser a kazayis, not any less, and therefore he won't be asser on any amount less than a kazayis. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that the shir, that the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabban and the Chachamim are a different machloikis. The machloikis is, can something be chal? Can a shvur, since we find that in the Torah, in the entire Torah, the shurim that the Torah always speaks about is a kazayis, here too, the shir that the Torah must mean a kazayis, like it means elsewhere. If that's the way to understand the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, we could easily understand the opinion of the Rambam. Could just like, even though b'kol haTorah kula, the shir is a kazayis, but yet there's a concept of chatzis shir osim min haTorah. Here too, yes, the Chachamim will apply the concept that is applicable b'kol haTorah kula, of that the shir is always a kazayis. However, they will say that just like b'chol haTorah kula, where the shir is a kazayis, but there's a concept of a chatzis shir, here too the shir is a kazayis, but we still can apply the concept, as the Rambam says, of a chatzis shir. So into our Gemara. Amar Rabbi Kiva, the Chum say to Rabbi Kiva, hey Chum Tzina, where do you find a precedent that somebody should eat a small amount and yet be chayiv? Ask them Rav Eloy, is there no such precedent? V'rein the Mola. We know that if somebody eats an insect, even if it's of the smaller size, there's a chiyuv deraisa. And as we learned in Masechta Makis, at the end of Masechta Makis, there may be a number of isurim deraisa involved. And it says the Gemara, Ber Yushani. A namala is a beria, it's a creature, and the fact that it's a whole creature makes it be treated differently in halacha. There's a very interesting tshuva that I saw from the Chavis Yor. The Chavis Yor says that he was once at a meal, and there were people sitting at the meal, and a parish, a lice, jumped into the soup, and the Chavis Yor refused to eat from the soup, because he says a parish we know is usur to be eaten, and it's a beria. Now Gemara is teaching us that a beria doesn't become bottle. All of the people sitting there said to the Chavis Yor, how could you say such a thing? This is such an insignificant insect. Specifically, it's pogum. It only makes a pogum to the food. And how could you suggest that it doesn't become bottle? Chavis Yor says that when he came home, he started thinking about this question. And he really began to try to understand how Gemara teaches us the beria shani, and that something is a beria is different. What makes a beria different? So Rashi says that it has a chshivas. Tosfos and other Rishonim take a different approach. Their approach is that something has a beria, shma aleho. Its original name remains with it, and therefore since its original name always remains with it, it always remains usur. So he says, certainly if we follow the opinion of Tosfos, that the fact that it has its original name on it creates a situation that it should be usur. So here too, the parish, as insignificant as it is, has its original name of a parish on it, and that's why it remains usur. But then he said that even according to Rashi, that Rashi says that what makes beria different, the fact that it's choshev, and now the question is, how can we call a parish something choshev? So he says, the fact that the parish is a living organism with a neshama in it gives it chashivas, gives it significance, and that's why it will be considered also. Ask the Gemara Varei Hegdish. What about Hegdish? That we see, even if somebody is moil behegdish less than a kezias, there's a chiyuv of moil behegdish. Says the Gemara, hegdish, you have the requirement of being in shava pruta, and therefore hegdish cannot serve as a precedent that you have a shear. So I saw the Rav Shach asks, how could the Gemara ask a question from hegdish to our Gemara? Our Gemara were referring to something that's a midat achila, something that's eaten. Hegdish is not an issa achila. Hegdish is an issa hanoah. So how is the Gemara attempting to ask a question for something which is an issa hanoah to something that's issa achila? Says Rav Shach in the Sefer Aviezri, that when we have a food that is hegdish, not only is there an issa hanoah on that food because it's hegdish, but the fact that it's food and the fact that it's hegdish create also an Isra Achila. And therefore, the Gemara has a right to ask from Hegdish to Shvua, which are Isra Achila. Ask the Gemara, Reb Mefarish, as we will learn later in our Shir, in a case where the person who made the Shvua explicitly said that he wants to Aser a Kol Shehu, everybody will agree that it's Aser. So we see that it's possible to make a Shvua on a Kol Shehu. Answers the Gemara, Mefarish, if one said so explicitly, then it's the same category, Kaber Yadami. By me explicitly saying that a Kol Shehu should be Asur, whatever Pshat that we gave earlier from the Rishonim, whether we give the Pshat that has a Chshivas, whether we give a Pshat that has Shema Aleh, it's designated that way. When it's designated that way, certainly there it's like a barrier, and we can't ask a question from there. Ask the Gemara, very offer, the Gemara is assuming that if somebody prohibits himself from eating offer, a subject that we're going to discuss later, the shear is even a Kol Shehu. Ella, and if you'll say that the shear by offer is also a Kezayis, Tifshit, the Bayi Rava, why now can't we use this to answer a question that we asked earlier, that the Rava is going to ask later in our shir? The Rava asks, if somebody makes a Shvu Shloi Oichel, and the Oichel offer, Bekamo, Tifshit, should we not be able to bring a raya from this Dadik Kazayas? Because if the shir were a Kalshahu, we would now have a precedent that there is a shir Kalshu, and why did the Rabbanan ask him to the Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, Ki Kamrinan, when the Rabbanan addressed Rabbi Kiva and say there is no precedent that there should be a shir Kalshu, they're referring to Mida the Barachil Kamrinan. They're referring to edible foods. This is not an edible food. Ask the Gemara of Economist. If somebody makes a kainam, the halach is that that's a form of a nether, and the halach is that you're not allowed to even have a kol shehu. Answers the Gemara, kainamis nami kumifarish dami. Kainamis fall into the same category of mefarish that we just learned on Amud Aleph, that everybody agrees that if you said mefarish, the halach is a kol shehu. Amalahen, so now we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva's response to Rabbanan, that Shvua, so Rabbanan addressed Rabbi Kiva and said, there is no precedent for a kol shehu. How does Rabbi Kiva respond? Heichem etzinim medabim mevi karbin, shezem medabim mevi karbin. And as Tosfos explained, we quoted at the beginning of the Perek, the fact that a Shvua has within it this characteristic, that just by me saying something, I create Isurim, and these Isurim bring with them a chiv karbin, that is a raya that a shvua is considered a more chumr digger type of a situation, and therefore it's to be treated differently. Ask the Gemara, v'loy, is there no such precedent? V'rei megadif, that just speaking to create Isurim, v'rei megadif. We're going to learn mitzvah mesechta avodah zarah, a machlokes, what is the definition of megadif? Rabbanu hol megadif means oyver avodah zarah, somebody worshipping avodah zarah. Rabbi Kiva says Megadif means Birchas Hashem. So Halachi is, according to Rabbi Kiva, if somebody curses Hashem, he's Mechuyiv to bring a carbon. So we see that speaking can bring a Chiyiv carbon. Ask Tosfos, why does the Gemara ask from Megadif? Why doesn't the Gemara ask from Shvuas Ha'edis? That the Halachi is that somebody who's approached that he knows testimony, and he falsely says that he swears falsely that he does not, and then he confesses, he's going to be chayiv to bring a carbon oil of a yoyrid. So we see that speaking could bring a chiyiv carbon oil of carbon. So why does the Gemara ask from Shvuas Ha'edis? So one Teretz Tosfos gives is that there the halacha is, as I just said, that by Shvuas Ha'edis the chiyiv carbon is a chiyiv carbon oil of a yoyrid. By Megadif, the chiyiv is a full-fledged carbon chattis. And that's why the Gemara preferred to ask from Megadif rather than from Shvuas Ha'edis. Another teretz is, as I said a moment ago, it is specifically Rabbi Kiva who holds that Megadif means Mevarech Hashem. So it's Rabbi Kiva who shows us that you can be chayiv a carbon based on making a statement. And that's why the Gemara wants to point out that how does Rabbi Kiva make a statement that our Mishnah, that speaking doesn't bring a chiyuv carbon, where it's very much, where it's just Rabbi Kiva who says that by Megadif it does make you have a chiyuv carbon. Another teretz that Rishonim suggests, Megadif and the shvua that we're referring to, the shvua spitui, are situations where people began to speak on their own initiative. Somebody chas v'shalom was Megadif Hashem, he did it on his own initiative. Somebody who made a Shvuas Pitui, it's on his own initiative. Shvuas Ha'edis, as I described a moment ago, is a situation where I'm reacting to someone coming to me to say testimony on his behalf. And therefore the Gemara feels that the comparison between Megadif and Shvuas Pitui are much more similar than Shvuas Ha'edis and Shvuas Pitui. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, in his statement, our Mishnah is referring to medabe va'oisa kaminin, where somebody speaks and through his speaking something becomes prohibited. But hi, megadif is a situation medabe v'choytehu, where his speaking is an avera. Ask the Gemara, v'rei nazir. What about the situation of a nazir, where somebody becomes a nazir, and by becoming a nazir, he can't drink wine, and when he finishes his naziris, he has to bring a carbon. So you see that speech can bring a chiyuv carbon. answers the Gemara, maybe Kabana of the Bura Kaminin. Rabbi Akiva is looking for a precedent where somebody brings a carbon because of something that he said. Hi, the reason a Nazar brings a carbon, he brings a carbon L'shtur Lechamu the Ka'amaisi. The purpose of him bringing a carbon is only that now he should be able to drink wine. Says the Rajba. From here we clearly see that Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with Rabbi Elazar Kfar. Because we know Rabbi Elazar Kfar says that the reason a Nazar has to bring a carbon chatos is because Ashotzir, because he's considered a chayte, he's considered a sinner. Ashotzir atzmi minayayim, because he withheld from wine. And here we see that that's not the reason. The reason is that he should be able to drink wine. Furthermore, says Tosis, the fact that the halach is that if a nazir becomes tamei, he has to purify himself, and before he begins his new count of naziris, he has to bring a carbon. That too is not an indication that his dibur obligated him to bring a carbon, because that has nothing to do with his dibur. The reason he has to bring a carbon is because those carbonis allow him to begin counting a naziris again. And Taisa says a gevald garaya, because Taisa says the halacha is that even if a nazir became tamei be oinus, he didn't become tamei deliberately, the halacha remains the same, that he has to purify himself and bring carbonis to start his new naziris. So you see, it has nothing to do with his dibur. Ask the Gemara very hegdish. What about the case of hegdish, that if somebody is magdi something, and there, if some, and then it's hegdish, and somebody is mild by hegdish, a carbon has to be brought? Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva is referring to a situation of oisel atzma kaminin, where somebody prohibits something specifically for himself. When somebody is magdish, he's just not answering it for himself, he's prohibiting it for use to anyone. Ask them about great kainamis. We've been learning that a form of nedarim is kainamis, and a kainam is a hegdish, the Gemara learns now, and therefore, and a kainam is a nether specifically to myself, and yet the Gemara says that there's a chi of carbon. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, and we're going to discuss this subject much more later, that there is no chiv carbon when one violates a kainim. Machlokes Rishonim, when we speak about a kainim here, does it refer to every nether, or does it only speak about a nether where one used the word kainim, or where one was matvis the nether with a carbon? Amar Rava, says Rava, Machlokes, the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. If the shear is a kazayis or kol shehu, it's only bestam where somebody just said, I won't eat. Ab mefarish, if somebody explicitly said in his shvua that he won't eat a kol shehu, then divrei hakel, everybody will agree it's kol shehu. My tama, as we learned earlier, mefarish nami kiberi dami. If he said so specifically, then that it gives it a chshivas, and the shear will be a kol shehu. So Rishonim ask, this is obvious. What is the Gemara trying to teach us? If he said a kolshu, he obviously meant a kolshu. So the Rishonim explain that here the person used the word, I won't eat achila kolshu. And as we have been learning, it is the opinion of the Rabbanan that the word achila means a kazayis. So here we have, says the Gemara, perhaps a contradictory statement. On one hand, he used the word achila, which means a kazayis. On the other hand, he said kol shu, which means a kol shu. What is the halacha? Teaches us Rava that we follow the kol shu and the shears of kol shu. Furthermore, says Rava, machlokes b'shloi oichel. The machlokes between Akiva and Rabbanan is in a situation where somebody says, I won't eat. Av b'shloi etoim. If somebody says the word etoim, there everybody will agree that it means kol shu. Ask the Rav Shita, it's obvious. He used the word etoim. Answers the Gemara. Maybe when he said the word litoim, people use the word litoim to eating, kamash malon. That's why the Gemara has to teach us, since litoim can mean achila, which is a kazayis, or litoim can mean achila, can mean just a tima, which means a kalshu, we say that it means a kalshu and not more. That's one pshat that the Ritva says. Another pshat that Ritva says is that the word that the Gemara means to say that the word tima means a kol shehu. We see that people use the word tima and then they eat more than just a tima, more than just a taste. That is in the category, like we find in Pirkei Avos, of Ema Ma'at Vasei Tzei Harbei. They say Te'ima. They mean just tasting, but then they give more. Then he makes a differentiation when the person uses Te'ima in response to somebody else versus when somebody uses the word Te'ima by himself. When somebody says to somebody else, Bo ve'etoyim, come vitoyim, he certainly means that he should eat a lot. But when somebody just says the word le'etoyim for himself, there, says the Ritva, he certainly means a kalshu. Continues the Gemara. Amra Papa, Machlaikis, the Machlaikis we're having about Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanon, about what is the shir, a kezayis or a kalshu, that's strictly b'shvuas. Alba kainamis, when it comes to kainamis, the rehakol, the shir is a kalshu. My tama, kainamis nami, kimdala kamet grishma dachila, when somebody says kainim, he doesn't use the word achila, and since he doesn't use the word achila, it's kidimafarish dami, we assume that he means a kalshu. Neisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a braisa, shnei kainamis, two kainamis, somebody prohibited two loaves on himself with two kainamis, mitstarfim, they can be mitstarf to the shear. However, shnei shfuas, a mitstarfis. Ramei however says, kainamis kishfuas. Ask the Gemara if we have the opinion that Rapapa just taught us. That by kainim the shir is even a kalshu. What is the Bryce speaking about tziruf? There is no need for tziruf. You're violating the kainim as soon as you ate a kalshu. Lamali letzaruf. Why do we have to come on to a concept of tziruf? Answers the Gemara. It's referring to a situation where somebody said achila mezel like kainim, where he specifically used the word achila. Achila mezel like kainim. So since he used specifically the word achila, the shear has to be a kezayis. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case that this price is referring to, how could they be mitzarif? If he specifically said, I have a kainim not to eat from this loaf, and I have a kainim not to eat from this loaf, so there's a specific shear kezayis from each loaf separately. Soif, asked the Gemara, zila hocha lek l'shira, v'zila hocha lek l'shira. So how could there be a tziruf? Says the Gemara, the case referred to is the Amar Chilim Mishteim Alayim Kainim. He didn't speak about each loaf separately. He said Chilim Mishteim Alayim Kainim. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case that this Braisa is referring to, let's continue learning the Braisa. The Kavasoga B'Shvuas, that it must be referring to situation Shvuas Lo'Ochel Mishteim. He made one Shvuas that he won't eat from both of these loaves. So why by Shvuas does the Tanakhama say aim at starfim, if he made one such statement? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Amra Pinchas, Shani Shvuas, the Mitar Shechaluchis L'Chatos aim at starfis. We know throughout Halacha, the Halacha is that if somebody does the same Aveira B'Shogig B'Helem Echad in one stage of forgetfulness, he's always only Chayiv one Karmen Chatas. Says Rav Pinchas that Shvuas is different. We're going to learn the opinion of Pinchas later. But Rav Pinchas teaches us that Yechayiv, even if you violated a Shvua, Behelem Echad, a number of times, Yechayiv a separate carbon for each violation. So since Shvuas have this unique din that Yechayiv a separate carbon for each violation, even if it was Behelem Echad, that's why Shvuas are not mitzdarfis. Ask the Gemara, if so, let's continue learning the Braisa. Ramei Oimer, Kainamis Kishuas. He treats Kainamis Kishuas. Let's understand, ask the Gemara. Bishlam Shuas, we could understand why Ramei will hold that Bishuas, it's not Mitzdarev, because we just learned the opinion of Rav Pinchas, Hoyl v'chalukas l'chatos, that's why they're separate. But ask the Gemara, Ela, Kainamis Amayloi, why is there no why will Rabbi Meir not agree that in this situation where somebody made a statement they shouldn't combine? Says the Gemara, on the contrary, we're going to learn that Rabbi Meir Oimer that Shavuos is Kanamis, to less like Reb Pinchas. Indeed, by Koinim, as we just explained, it's very understandable that if somebody made a statement of Achil Mishteim or Lai Koinim, that the Shurim can be Mitzdarif, the amount I eat are Mitzdarif. If we don't subscribe to what Reb Pinchas just taught us, the special din of Shavuos, that you bring a separate Shavuos for each violation, then the same din ought to be by Shavuos. And indeed, that's what the Brice is saying, that both by Shavuos and by Koinomis, Ramei will teach us that you can be Mitzdarif. Ravina gives a different resolution to this question. Again, the question was, Rav Papa said that there is no shear for Koinom, yet the Brisa speaks about Siruf for Koinom. Why do you need Siruf if there is no shurim? Answers the Gemara, Ki kam Rav Papa. When the Rav Papa say that there is no shurim as far as Koinomis are concerned, that's Linyan Malkus. Ki tanya hi, the Brisa that speaks about shurim, Linyan Korban. The Be'in and Shavapruta, that to bring a carbon, one has to have a Shavapruta to be Chayiv for Me'ila Behegdish. And here we're learning that there's Me'ila Bekoinomis, and the Shear will be a Pruta, and we're speaking about Siruf of a Shavapruta. The Griskarov says, the Pasuk says, Ish Kiyid Aneder LaHashem, Oy Shvua V'Shvua, Lesa Isra Al Nafshay. So he says, it's interesting. When the Torah speaks about a neder, the Torah uses the words neder l'Hashem. When the Torah speaks about a shvua, the Torah doesn't speak about l'Hashem. So he explains that a neder, as we've been learning, is like a hegdish. And it comes with a chiyuv karbon. And that's why by a neder, the Torah uses the words neder l'Hashem, because it's like hegdish. A shvua, nobody has suggested, has the status of Hegdish, and that's why the Torah doesn't use the word Shvu Hashem. It just says La'esa Isra Al Nafshay, and has nothing to do with Hashem. But the way we're explaining now, that this Bryce is teaching us, when will there be, how can we combine to have a Shir of a Pruta to be Chai of a Karban? Which would indicate, says the Gemara, Lememer, the Savar Rabbonim, Yesh Mila B'Kanamis, which would indicate that the Rabbonim hold that there's a Chiyiv carbon by Kanamis, and now we need to have a Shir of a Pruta to be Chayiv that carbon. Ask the Gemara, V'Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, V'Kikuzah Hegdish, if somebody says that this loaf should be Hegdish, V'Achloi Ben Hu Ben Chaveri, it makes a difference who then goes and eats it. There's a situation of Elah. And since it's Hegdish, it also carries with it the din, Lefikach Yeshla Pidyon, that you could be Paida, you could redeem Hegdish. However, continues the Braisa, if somebody only said, Kikazel Lai Hegdish, it's specifically Hegdish only to me, but not that it's full-fledged Hegdish, then the halacha is, Humo, if he eats from it, he has violated Me'ila. However, Chaver Loimal, Lefikach and Lepidyon. And since it's not a full-fledged Hegdish, it's only Hegdish to the person who made the nether, therefore it doesn't have the regular din of Hegdish that you could be pointed. Divrei Rameyer, that's the opinion of Rameyer, the Chamamim. However, the opinion of the Chamamim are, Bein hu bein chaver lemo, no one will have violated Mila here, the Vishay Mila b'Kanamis. There is no Chiyiv Mila by in the Dorim. So how are we explaining that the opinion of the Rabbonim there is regarding Tziruf, for the Chiyiv carbon for Koinom? We just learned that Rabbanan hold that there is no Chiyiv carbon for Koinom. Answers the Gemara, Epoch. We have to reverse the opinions in the second Braisa. Echad Zev, Echad Zev Loimol. In the case where somebody made it Hegdish just for himself, no one has violated Mila, Lefish E Mila B'Koinomis, there's no Mila B'Koinomis. That's the opinion of Rameyer. V'chom Maimrim, Humoil V'chaver Loimol. There is Mila, there is a Chiyiv carbon, and now we can understand the opinion of Ramea in the first Braisa, of the Chachamim in the first Braisa. The Chachamim now need to understand, when do we have Tziruf by Koinomis to be Chayiv the carbon? You have to have Mila Veshava Pruta to be Chayiv the carbon. Ask the Gemara, but if we're now saying that the opinion of Ramea is a Mila B'Koinomis, now let's go back. The first Braisa said, Ramea Oy M'Koinomis Kishvuas, El Kanamis, so which the deek is. Kanamis, it's the roof of the Mitzdarif. The Ramei is going to hold that there's never a Tziruf, Homi'ilah, Misbahu. That the Brice is teaching us, the Ramei says that there's never Tziruf b'mila there is. There's no chiyuv mila at all. Didn't we just say that that's the opinion of Rav Meir? Says the Gemara. The way to understand that b'raisa is as follows. Rameh is speaking to Rabbanim. There is no Me'ila. And since there's no Me'ila, there's no need to begin to understand if there is Tziruf or not, because it's not relevant. However, according to you, either Oidel Me'il the Kanam's Keshuus, that there should be no combination by Kanamis, just like there is no Meshuus, say the Rabbanim. Shvuas, things don't combine, because we have the concept that we spoke about earlier of Rapinchas that says that we see the special din that you mechuyev a separate carbon for every violation of the Shvuah, even behelim echad. Kanamis, we don't have that concept. Lekad Rapinchas, and since we don't have that concept, and we do need it to combine for the carbon meila, we have a concept of tziruf by kanamis. Says the Gemara, Amarava. If somebody makes a shvuah that he won't eat, and then achal offer, he eats earth, he's potter. Because offer is not considered something which is eaten. Asking Rabbi Rava, shvuah shlo yachal offer. If somebody explicitly said that he won't eat earth, bekama, how much offer does he have to eat to be chayiv? Kim da amish shlo yachal. Since he used the words oichal, do we say datik zayis? Since this is something that people normally don't eat, the shear will be a kol shehu. And the Gemara remains with this question with a teiku. Continues the Gemara. By Rava. And as the Rishonim explained, this question is built on the previous question. That if we say that somebody who makes a shvua not to eat something that's inedible, the shear will be a kol shehu, what would be the halacha when somebody made a shvuah shloi oichel karetzen? He makes a shvuah not to eat grape seed. What would be the shear? Kiven the mis'achel ayidei teroivis. Since grape seed can be eaten when it's part of a mixture, so it's viewed as an edible food, and therefore the shear will be a kazayis, like by all edible foods. Oy dilma, kiven the loy be'enei ichlei inche. Since when it's not by itself, people don't eat it, it's not something that people normally eat on its own. The halacha will be as it is in the previous case, that the date is a mashu. And here too the Gemara remains with a taiku. Now the Gemara goes on a step further. By Rav Ashi, we know that a nazir may not eat chatzanim, any byproducts of grapes. So now ask the Gemara, nazir sh'am shvu shloichel chatzan. If a nazir says that I won't eat chatzan, what does he mean? How much does he mean? The kama. The kiv the kazayis is sur deraisahu. And kazayis of chartzen he may not eat anyway, because he has an issa deraisa. And we know that one can make a shvua to prohibit something which is already prohibited. Ki kamishtaba, ahateru kamishtaba. We must say that when he's making the shvua, he certainly means something that he's allowed to eat, and therefore date mashu. Oidoma, do we say kivin d'amish shloi oichel? Since he's saying shloi oichel, data kazayis. The Rishonim debate. Opinion of Tosfos is that this gemara is not specifically by a nazir; it's by any person who makes a shvuah that he won't eat something which is osur. Do we say since it's already osur, he must have meant that he's a kol shehu, or since he used the word achila, he means a kazayis? The Ramban, however, says that the Gemara is speaking specifically to the case of a nazir, because the Gemara is speaking specifically about a chartzen, which is an inedible food. The Gemara is not referring to a situation of edible foods. Furthermore, the Rishonim use this Gemara as a proof. There's a question, we actually discussed this many times when we learned Masech the Nazir, if Naziris is an Isser Gavra, or Naziris is an Isser Cheftza. From our Gemara, bring the Mefarshim Araya, the Naziris is Issa Gavra, because the Gemara is saying that the Issa Shvua cannot be Chal on it. Why can the Issa Shvua not be Chal on it? Because he already has an Issa Gavra. If Naziris were Issa Cheftza, then it's not a problem, a Mojbeva Oimet. Toshma. So Mar wants to bring a raya from the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, if somebody says Shvu Shloy Oichel, Vachon Leveil Treif Shkotz Ramoshim Chayif, Rav Shimon Potter. So we try to understand, we mentioned this already in the previous year, but we're about my Chayif. Why is the Chayif eating Leveil Treif Shkotz Ramoshim? Why is the Shvu considered a valid Shvu? Is this not a situation of Mujbe V'Oim Mahar Sinaihu? And we explain, Rav Shmuel V'Rav Yochanan D'Amri, that it's referring to a situation because Varma Mutarm and Varma Asurim. That since he not only said a shvu regarding things that are asur, he also spoke about things that are mutam. Rish Lakish Amar, you won't find it. El ibn mafarish chatzishir v'alib d'rabbanan. That according to Rabbanan, normally achila is a kazayis, but here the person said specifically that he means less than a kazayis. Ibistam alib d'rabbakiva, or according to Rabbakiva, he didn't have to say he means less than a kazayis, because according to Rabbakiva, whenever you say a shvua, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, it means less than a kazayis, as Rabbakiva's opinion is, adam oisa b'kol shehu. Says the Gemara, v'ha nevela de mujbe v'ayim mahar sinayhu, de kichatzel agab menazadamni. The Gemara compares a nevela to charetzin. V'tama, and the only reason Rish Lakish says that he's potter, the only reason he says it's part, the shvu is chal, is because he meant and he said less than a kazayis. Haloi parish, had he not said less than that, we don't automatically assume that in order to make the shvu effective, he meant less than a kazayis. We don't make such an assumption. Rather, we say that the kazayis, that he means a kazayis. Shema amino, from here we see that when somebody said chartzen, unless he specifies differently, the shir is a kazayis. Ela Tisha Dabai Rava. So now goes the Gemara a step further. So why can't we use this to answer the question the Rava asked? If somebody said Shvu Shloy Oichel Offer, if somebody says a Shvu they won't eat dirt, Bekama. And we want to know how much it meant, so don't, why can't we bring a Raya based on this previous Gemara that he meant the Kazayas? The Nevela. Nevela is similar to Offer. And we own, and the Rish Lakish explained that the only time he will be Osir, and the only time the shvu will be effective is because b'parish, that he specified that he means less than a kazayis. Holy parish, if he doesn't say so, we say that he means a kazayis. So don't we see from here, ask the Gemara, that if you say the word achila, even if it's something that you can't eat, you mean a kazayis? Loi. Says the Gemara, the comparison is not a good comparison. Because offer is la bar chilu klau. Offer is something which is not edible. Nevela, on the other hand, is something that's basachila. It's just for ayuhu de reviale, there's something that prevents you, there's an isser that prevents you from eating it. But it's certainly an edible food. So it could be by nevela, it's only if you said less than a kazayis, that's what you mean. Otherwise, we say you mean a kazayis. Offer, which has very different rules, will have the din that it has to be even a kosher who, according to everybody, is what we say you meant in your shvur. So here our Gemara teaches us that offer is considered something that's not basachila. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that in the halach is that on Yom Kippur, if somebody eats something like offer, it's not considered that he violated Yom Kippur. But there is a very interesting machlokes apaiskim. If somebody takes an insect, for example, we spoke about insects at the beginning of the shir. If somebody takes an insect and burns it and then eats it, what will be the halacha? So there are some paiskim, there are some rishonim that say that our Gemara says that anything that's inedible, offer, is not considered a food and will not be asur. Other paiskim differentiate that they say if you take it as a refuah, so then indeed it's not a problem. But if you take it for, if you eat it, the fact that you eat it shows that you consider this a food, and therefore, even though it's completely inedible, it was burnt, the halach is that it will be also to be eaten. The Michas Yaakov makes the following condition. He says, if somebody specifically goes and burns a sheretz on the intent to use it even as a refuah, since he went and did it on purpose that way, then it'll be usur even to be taken as a refuah. So the question I saw that the Paiskim discuss is, let's say somebody has a fruit or a vegetable that we know is an infested fruit or vegetable, but in processing the fruit or vegetable, he has to go through a process that it's completely burnt. What would be the halacha in such a circumstance? Will it be asra mutter? And you then eat that food, will be asra mutter. One could suggest that we just said that if somebody burns something with the intent to eat it, it's asra. And according to others, even if it's not burnt with that intent, your eating it gives it the chshivas, and therefore it should be asr. So I saw it's a machloikas achroinim. Indeed, the Mechas Yitzchak holds that in such a situation it will be asr. Because if you burn it, but you burn it with the intent to eat, or according to other paiskim, even without the intent to eat, your eating it makes it asr. However, the Mishnah Halachas disagrees. He says that when do the paiskim say that if you burn something that's asr and then you eat it, you're not allowed to eat it unless it's l'tzarich refuah? That's in a case when you burn specifically the dover asr. Here you're not looking to burn the insect. You're burning the fruit. You're burning the vegetable. The insect that's in the fruit or in the vegetable get burnt along with it. That will not be a situation where you intended to burn the insect, nor is it considered that you intend, that you're giving chshivas to the insect, and then you would be allowed to eat that food item.